iHeart Podcast.
Welcome to We Know's Parenting. I'm Beth Newell.
I'm Peter McNerney.
And we are parents? In February.
We're in February and we're still parents.
Yeah. So where we last left off was you had the kids while I was on vacation.
Yeah.
Now I'm back.
You're back, baby.
To my huge, enormous children.
Yeah, they grew 12 feet while you were gone.
Yeah, that's what always happens. They're like little human
people.
Beings just walking around.
You're like, oh, hello, mother.
Just interacting with the planet.
We missed you ever so much.
Yeah, they've been pretty good. They've been calmer, actually. Part of it is I think we just have more of a routine for how tantrums are going to go down, and so it doesn't catch me off guard as much when it happens.
Yeah, I think this podcast and us talking about it have put us more on the same page than anything else. I just witnessed you handle a tantrum like I have been, and I gotta say, I was impressed.
Are you taking credit for the tantrum strategy?
Well, that's not the point.
Okay, but, well, anyway. Yeah.
But you did it great. How did it feel?
It's not the only time I've dealt with a tantrum.
I know. I'm not saying that you didn't know how to do it before, but you were very... What I noticed you doing that really stuck out to me, because he got a little crazy because you were home. You came home early because you weren't feeling great today, so he wasn't expecting to see you. So I think they get a little excited. And he like got upset and like tried to hit. And then when we do that, we have to hold you. And you said, I have to hold you. And you held him, and you, as he was like saying things, you were just calm and you didn't engage. And I had not seen you do. And I think it was great. How did it feel?
It's good. I've been trying to teach my kids that they're not like worthy of my constant attention, which is like something I think I struggle with, is like when they want something, if it's something like, I don't care if they, you know, have food or drink when they're hungry. Like, I'm just making them wait longer for things so that they have to put in more effort or like at least ask nicely.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's been so liberating for me just to that, like, I'll explain myself once and then I'm not going to, but the other part of it that I've been excited about is that I've been treating the tantrum or the them asking for things is that I'm like, that's just one more thing on my list. I have to do the dishes and the trash. and I'm fine. I'm fine doing the chores.
Yeah.
And so I go, no, you can't have milk right now. I'm cooking dinner. And then I do the trash. I do this and I ignore them, but with a positive presence. I'm not paying attention to you because I'm paying attention to something else. And it's fine.
Yeah.
And they get tired quickly when you ignore them that way.
Well, and the thing that I think I've gotten better at is like when Bryn is trying to kick a wall and then you have to physically restrain him, it's like when he keeps saying like, let me go, or punching you, or like when he keeps trying to argue that you're hurting him or whatever, and that like, and it's so easy to try to argue back with him and be like, I'm trying to keep you from hurting people, you idiot. Like,
yeah, that's not your strongest
argument. If you start arguing, it's just a loop, like it's just a useless loop of energy. Yeah. So
for the record, we've never called our kids idiots to their faces.
Only to our fans.
Totally to everyone else.
They get it.
Go ahead.
But I had a pretty big breakthrough last night where they were both tantruming at once, which is like my most annoying experience.
Sure.
And then it was kind of like Maven was really tired. She fell asleep on the couch and after not wanting to let me put a pull-up on and insisting she was going to wear like a tights to bed or something. And so she fell asleep on the couch, even though it was pretty early. She had the same cold I currently have. And I managed to get a pull-up on her while she was like half asleep. And then she kind of woke up at the end of it and I was going to try to move her to bed. So then she freaks out. She's having a tantrum. Bryn's having a tantrum about going to bed or something. I had to restrain him. And then while I'm restraining him, she's taking off her pull-up, which normally I'm like, would want to run over there and stop. But I was like, you know, I can only can like deal with one person at a time. So I'm just going to commit to this Brynn thing and let her like have it, like to wear herself out.
Yeah.
So she's running around screaming about her pull up and like throwing clothes, like, and Brynn, I'm just restraining. And then they both finally calm down, wear themselves out. And you know how Brynn is. He just flips a switch and then he acts as if he never was having a tantrum to begin with.
He says suddenly like, oh, hey.
Yeah. And you're like, what is wrong with you, you psychopath? Like you were just, anyway.
That's my memory of my full childhood. Me and my three brothers, like, that's what it was. It was like, I hate you. Do you want to go play hockey? You forget.
So then Brynn did that, his usual, act du jour, and then Maven was like,
did you say act du jour?
I don't know, it's his usual routine. I was like getting them into pajamas or something. I let them like have some milk and they calmed down for a second, and while Maven is like drinking milk letting me put on a pull-up, she was like, later she's like, sorry I took off my pull-up.
Really?
I was like, I can't believe she's apologizing. She said it like three times. She's like, sorry, mommy. Sorry I took off my pull-up. I was like, are you kidding me? I cannot believe she's relenting on this. So I guess I just need to let them like,
yeah,
feel big feelings.
Yeah, and they do a big push, and when you don't, like, they throw a big wave at you and they want you to be a wall that's going to like break that wave. And when you just step out of the way of the wave, they're like, oh, it's... these waves are calming. And then they forget what they're doing. Along those lines, I've recently found, you know, like when they're really upset, we've gotten much better at staying positive. But another trap that I have fallen into is trying to distract them with questions. Where I'm like, hey, do you think tomorrow we should go to the park? Questions are just as bad as trying to argue with them, because they can just say no and then they have power again.
It's really hard for me not to ask in the form of a question, because it's just the way humans phrase things.
Yeah.
Like you'd be like, hey, why don't we go outside and take a walk? And then like everything you say, they're like, no.
But what I just did tonight, because we were sort of tag teaming the tantrum, and I sort of stepped in right as it was waning. So I was there at the end, and he was like, getting ready to maybe rev back up. And instead of going, hey, do you want to go get a sandwich? Do you want to feel better? Which normally would send him back into a rage. I just immediately picked up the pig toy. And I just started like talking to myself. And I'm like, oh man, I'm so excited, because tonight we actually, the dinner I made had a pork in it. And Brynn, I don't know if you know this, but pork, bacon is actually made from a pig, and the pig is on top of the chicken. And I just keep rambling to myself about facts, and then I see him trying to catch up, and I'm like, so this is going to be pretty funny. It's like I'm going to eat a sandwich, but it's like a pig on top of a chicken. And then I squeaked the pig toy and it oinked, and I go, oh, what was that? And then suddenly all of it was gone, and there was a bit, and then he got on board and we were laughing, and it was over. And I was like, that's it. Just start talking to myself about interesting things and no questions.
But it's like, it's a weird game, because you have to find the exact right moment of him cooling down where he's a little bit tired. Like he's ready to be distracted.
You got
to
pick the moment. You know, I just realized this is exactly what I do as Story Pirates when I perform for an auditorium full of kids, which is an insane energy. And there's so many, it's usually crappy New York City, public New York City school auditoriums that are designed to make it impossible to hear anything. And so you can't be like, if they get out of control and they're not paying attention, you can't do the like, all right, let's get quiet, I'll wait. You have to just simply be more interesting than whatever they're excited about right now.
Right.
And it's like you never ask the audience questions. You're like, did you like that last story? Then people will like start talking.
You have to have a good song and dance routine.
Yeah, instead
like,
of
bye,
it is.
Bye, 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 caca face.
Yeah, if it is like, if you can hear me clap once, if you can hear me clap twice. Oh my gosh, look at this. Now I've got your attention over here. And it is just redirecting their attention. It's just instead of going, hey, stop what you're doing right now. Instead, you put your hand to the side and start snapping and go, ooh, this is a fun sound. I like snapping.
So what you're saying is parenting is like acting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
but that's all you guys need to know. Parenting is like acting. You're welcome. Buy our book. Now it's time for We Don't Knows. This is where we share one of our most perplexing or defeating or like We Don't Knows moments of parenting. And Beth, you got a We Don't Knows.
Yeah.
You got a good one.
I mean, this is a, you know, a moment where our son truly didn't knows.
Actually, we did knows.
We knows. So we went out to dinner to a pizza place in town, had some good pizza. I took Maven to the bathroom. Peter asked Bryn to go to the bathroom. He refused many times.
He refused. I picked him up from daycare and then drove to our place to pick you up. And as we were waiting for you to come down, he was sort of dancing. I was like, do you want to go to the bathroom? And he goes, yes. No. I go, well, we can run up and do it there, or we can do it at the restaurant. And he goes, no, I'll wait till after the restaurant. And in my mind, I'm like, this will be the time where he finally has to overcome his fear of public restrooms.
But why does he have this fear? This feels like...
I can relate to that.
I know. It's a very you fear to have. I don't
understand
why he's made this, like, an issue. I don't...
I got over my fear of public restrooms, like, last year.
Okay. So he... Okay, so Bryn didn't want to go to the bathroom. This was something that I guess I sort of forgot towards the end of the meal was an issue because he was just sitting there for such a long time and seemed fine. And then...
Although he was sitting there shaking back and forth nonstop for an hour. Other than that, he was okay. Normal.
Well, anyway, it's time to go. We're waiting for the check. I noticed he was getting antsy, so I guess, like, in my mind, without thinking about the cause for his shaking, I was like, let's get him out of the restaurant. And he... So I'm like, okay, well, you guys are waiting for the check. I'm just going to run down the street and go into CVS to grab something so that we can get home more quickly.
Maven spilled a full glass of milk right after you left.
Oh, yeah. And then I go into CVS with Bryn. The whole time we're there, he's like, wait, what are we doing? And I was like, I already told you this inside. And then we get into CVS. It sprints away from me in the CVS. And I'm like, great, now I got to find him. It takes me a second to find him. I find him in like a corner standing there with a scared look on his face. And I'm like, oh no. And he's looking down and he's peeing his pants in CVS, like flooding down his pant leg into his shoes.
A significant amount of urine.
A real lot of pee that he's been hoarding apparently for a full hour. So
hoarding. You can't have my pee. I'm hoarding it.
He looks down as it's happening. And he goes, why is this happening? And then
wait, didn't he say why'd that happen?
Well, he looked down and was like, why is this happening? And then as I was like sort of resigned at this point, realizing how much so much pee was coming out of him so fast. And I truly think that our listeners may have manifested this scenario through sheer desire to see us in their hypothetical would you knows. So
did you know?
I can tell at this point. All of this pee is coming out of him immediately. He's not going to, like, hold it. So we either stand there and just let him form a puddle for a second, or we leave a trail of pee, like, everywhere. You know what I mean? So
he instinctually found a corner.
It was sort of a corner. Anyway, and I'm like, probably making a scene because I was running, searching for him. So when I find him, I was like, what are you doing? What? No. And like, it was like the definitely like if you were a keen listener in an adjoining aisle, you would have realized what was happening.
I'm picturing a lady up at the cash register hearing somebody go, are you peeing? Oh, don't let anyone see you pee. We gotta leave because you're peeing. Thank you. Good night.
So then I'm like, okay, I guess I'll take him into the bathroom, but it's like really too late to do much damage control at this point. Take him to the bathroom, like pat him down with some paper towels, which is pretty futile. And then I'm just like, we just have to get out of here before this is like more of an issue.
And it's like 7 degrees.
Yeah, it's like incredibly cold. So I'm like, well... this is one of those moments for your kids where you're like, you feel bad, but at the same time, you're like, you got yourself into this mess. Like, you need to understand the consequences of peeing your pants in a public place. So So I'm like, okay, we're just gonna like get outside. So I like call you to get the car, which you're already on the way to, and you immediately start trying to tell me like that you're dealing with a situation with Maven. You're like, oh, Maven spilled some milk. Like you're like frustrated.
I thought I had a story.
Yeah, you're like, oh, we gotta get out of here. Like, and I was like, you have no idea. So then,
yeah, well, Maven, I didn't tell you, Maven refused to put on her jacket and hat, and so I wrestled her into her coat. And
of course, she did.
Yeah.
So we throw like a sweater on his seat and some paper towels that I smuggled out of CVS from the CVS bathroom.
Smuggled.
I mean,
hey,
I was.
Where did all these paper towels go?
I was unrolling a bunch of paper towels in the bathroom and then just like stuffing them into my jacket. I was like, we got to get out of here. Like, it was just like,
it really is a would you know scenario.
It is like a crime scene. There's no question in the world when it comes to fight or flight. My flight response wins every time. So
this really, really changes how we're going to look at those scenarios now.
No, I think this is pretty much what I had said I would do.
Run away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, I get him out of there.
Well, I want to know how much urine did you leave on the floor of the CVS?
I mean, it's like,
that was the most genuine sigh I've ever heard.
I would say it's like close to a foot diameter of just urine. Like, there's a significant puddle of pee. I mean, a lot of it went into his shoes, so
which we washed.
His nice high top pee bowl shoes.
They really absorbed it.
They were really built for it. So we get him home. You pull up. I go in with Maven. Oh, this is when you were mad at me.
I got mad at you. So you were like, I was going to go park on the street. And you're like, can you drop us off? And I go, okay. And I pull up. And you get out of the car and grab Maven and walk away. And I was like, what about our wet son who I now have to walk with in 10 degree weather? It was a sweet victory because I was right. And it's rare that
you were right about what?
You should have taken the wet boy.
No, I disagree, because I think he wasn't in danger, and I think he needed to feel the consequences.
I think you wanted to not walk from the street, and that's the full extent of it.
I didn't want him to make me carry him with pee all over him. I didn't want to carry...
I don't think you thought it through that much.
I didn't want to be involved in touching more of the pee. Plus, me going in without him meant that I started running a bath. I was preparing for you guys.
Okay. It's a pretty good argument.
I didn't think... Maven was crying. I wanted to get her inside. I didn't feel like she deserved to suffer for Bryn's actions.
Okay. Sure. I forgive you. I would. So, unrelated to this, but this is walking in tonight. I picked him up from daycare, and we were coming up around, and Maven just goes, "Mommy's here. I love Mommy." Ugh. And then she goes, "I'm happy to her." I think that's her saying that she's happy around you. "I'm happy to her. I love Mommy." And Brittany goes, "I love Mommy too." And I go, "You know what, you guys? I love Mommy too." And then he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "I love you. I love you, Bryn. I love you, Maven. Do you love me, Bryn?" And Bryn goes, "Daddy, I don't love you. Daddy, I do not love you, but I like your jacket."
Bryn said that?
Yeah. And he said it real casual. He's like, "I like your jacket." Like it was a cool consolation prize. And I got to say, it is a cool jacket. It's 55 degrees today, which is insane. So I put on my lighter jacket.
So you're saying parenting is like acting.
By Peter McNerney on bookshelves this fall. Parenting is like acting. All the world's a stage to pee on.
This story is kind of relevant. So Bryn asked me the other day, because I had said I was like going out to work. I left for a couple hours to work. And he was like talking to me about it later or something. He was like, "What's your work?" He like basically was like asking what my job was, which we had never talked about before, which I think is funny.
We've been talking about it. One of the questions in his journal is, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And he like didn't understand the question. So we came back to it the next day and I sort of explained it more. So it's on his mind.
Yeah. So he asked me, and like the easiest description I could come up with him was, I was like, "I write jokes." And he was like, you write jokes? And he was like, how do you write jokes? And I was like, well, you just try to think up things that are funny. And he was like, like, why is 6 afraid of 7? Like, he was like,
is that one of yours?
And then he always tells the punchline wrong on that, where he's like, because he ate 9.
The best version we've said in this is, because 7, what is 6 afraid of 7? Because 7 had red eyes.
Oh, yeah, that still was his old version.
Still one of my favorite jokes ever. We got to do that again. Get a list of jokes and give the setup and have Bryn give the punchline.
Oh, yeah.
He understands what I do because I just tell him I'm a story pirate. And he listens to the Story Pirates podcast and he hears Daddy is an idiot on a ship. And so he's like, Daddy's eating a book. And I was like, yeah, that's my job. I don't think he understands that, like, I mean, he probably does that I'm acting. I mean, he's come to the Story Pirates show and seen
that. Because you're so serious at home. He couldn't possibly understand you were doing a character.
Well, but I think there is still a little bit of a blurred line. Like, when he listens to the show, he's like, he now points out, that's you, Daddy. But it's still like a bit of a real world to him.
I think the thing is that your Story Pirates character is just so believably you, you know? It's because like an idiot that keeps
eating
interjecting.
Oh, no. My character doesn't interrupt. My character is interrupted.
Okay. So then it is very different from real you, and I can see why you would be offended.
I'm not in charge.
By the confusion.
My character in Story Pirates is very stupid, but always positive. He's the most lovable, and he loves snacks. That's his defining feature.
Okay.
So that part's true.
This next segment's called Did You Knows, where we share some information we've found on the internet.
Yeah, learning how to be a parent from Googling it. That's our new theme song. This is an article from Slate from 2016, so it's a little dated. But I Googled this topic, and I thought it was, first of all, very funny, which the topic is quality of time versus quantity of time. And
you Googled this topic?
Yeah.
Were you feeling guilty about?
No. And I was like, should I?
But part of you was, if you decided to Google this.
I don't remember why. I
okay.
was just like,
anyway,
what's a topic?
Go ahead. What's a topic?
What's a topic? And okay. Boy, like, there's like 6 headlines that are right in a row that just go like, studies show quantity of time over quality. And then it's quality. And then I also read a few of them. And there's this big argument of whether spending more time with your kids is important versus spending quality time with your parents. And I noticed a trend in all of the arguments for quantity over quality.
And oh, you found that on other articles?
I found that on other articles, and they were like, sorry, despite all the recent studies, it's quantity over time. It's shown the more time you spend with your parents, the less likely you'll lead to behavioral issues or premarital sex. And I was like, oh, this has an agenda. And I was like, oh, this is true
if your Christian goal is to make your kids like uptight carbon copies of your idea of the rules of the world, then yes, quantity of time is going to be what it takes to get them to behave that rigidly for the rest of their lives.
Subplot of the thing is Beth hates Christians.
No, I don't hate Christians. I just hurt. I hate.
You hate
religious.
Chastity.
No, religious I hate chastity? Religious. Let me say a word. I hate religious militants of any philosophy.
Well, I thought it was really funny. It's like, the more time you spend with your parents, the less likely it'll lead to premarital sex. It's like, yeah. You spend all day with your mom, you're not getting laid. Oh! Anyway, this is a Slate article I found that argued the opposite. This is specifically aimed at fathering. In fathering, it's quality of time rather than quantity that makes the difference. And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. A team of researchers from the University of Oxford, found that a father's positive emotional response to parenting during their child's early years matters more than how much time they spent with them. The children of fathers who felt good about being a parent and confident in their role during this period were 28% less likely to have behavioral problems later on. Findings were based on questionnaires sent to over 10,000 English families, 6,500 of which were used for the final analysis. When the child was 8 weeks and then 8 months old, fathers were asked questions about what kind of parents they were. Researchers inquired into what kind of duties they were taking on, their relationship with their child, and their mood and feelings during the period. When the child was 9 and 11, mothers were asked questions about their child's behavior. Researchers asked the moms to rate their children on emotional matters like how nervous and clingy they are, how easily they lose confidence, whether they are considerate of other people's feelings, and whether they are able to sit still and focus. In their commentary, the study's authors point out that the positive effects of emotionally present dads might not just be the result of the way they interact with their children, but also with their children's mothers. A dad with a good attitude can be an important source of emotional support for new mothers, including many who are just not themselves following childbirth thanks to hormonal turbulence and sleep deprivation, as well as those experiencing postpartum depression. Dads, even if they are not home all day, are well positioned to create a sense of emotional cohesion during this rocky period and one that benefits the whole family. The researchers' team's finding echo those of previous research. One large-scale longitudinal study.
Okay, can I talk?
Yeah.
So this is the
variant, but you get it.
Anyway, so I think the thing about like the mood you're in around your kids is so huge in terms of like what kind of people they're going to turn into.
Oh, yeah. This is one that I'm like, this feels right. When I can tell when I'm being a bad dad, and it's pretty much just I'm on my phone too much.
And also just like when you're cranky, your kids are going to be crankier to be around you. Mm-hmm. And often as parents, you get tired and then you naturally get cranky. So you have to be very careful about not letting yourself get tired. It's like, it's very hard.
It's exercise, set time limits on your phone, eat well.
Low screen time.
Boy, I have been to the gym 8 times in 2 weeks. And
incredible.
I feel fucking invincible. Sorry to be so crass, but that's the truth.
We had a really nice weekend weather-wise, and I was able to get outside for a nature walk, and then I spent like 2 hours with our kids at the playground, and I was like, being outside is so incredible
for your mental well-being.
And it just like, it's very hard to do when it's freezing cold out, but we had a nice day. And we were very lucky it fell on a Sunday. Anyway, yeah. I did really in this article love the part where it pointed out that the effects of a present emotionally responsive dad might be secondarily affecting the kids through the mom.
Yeah.
Because if he's emotionally supportive of the mom when she's in a very fragile postpartum period, that could have an enormous effect on her ability to care for the kid as well.
Oh, I mean, your kids see and feel and hear you interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And that teaches them so much about how to be with somebody on an intimate level.
But this is something I say, like, I think in our country, and a lot of countries, we sometimes do terribly in this regard in, like, the postpartum care of the mother, which is, like, very huge in terms of her recovery and ability to care for that kid over the course of its lifetime. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just to set that woman on a path. So anyway, postpartum moms should have more resources from their partners and the world. But anyway, I'll end my little rant. I thought that was really interesting.
Rant it up, baby. Rant
yeah,
away.
Baby. There was something tonight where you were telling Bryn to brush teeth or something. And he was like, yeah, baby. And then Maven was like, I'm not a baby.
And they would be like, no, we're not talking to you. And she goes, I'm not a baby. And then Bryn goes, yeah, you are, baby. And I was like, Bryn, you're not helping. I was like, Maven, it's different. You're not a baby. We're talking about babies.
She gets really mad lately if I call her a big girl. I'm like, wow, you're getting big. And she's like, I'm not. I'm little. Like,
she's a stubborn lady. But that whole, like, baby, something I've never said in my whole life until this podcast, and you, I'm sure listening, know that I have to I say it most episodes. At some point, I'm like, see you later, baby. And I guess I've done that outside of the podcast because Brent now says it
all
the
time.
You
must not know how often you're apparently saying it.
What are you talking about, baby? Let's make some new merch.
Remember when you were having like full conversations out loud to yourself in the bathroom and I commented on it and you were like, do I talk to myself?
I don't remember that conversation.
You're like, oh, I guess that was out loud. You were.
This just happened recently?
No. I mean, like,
do you hear me
ago?
Having full, super, like, multi-sided conversations in the shower every morning?
No, but I think. Because
sometimes
happened.
I realize I'm talking out loud. I'm like, I'm insane.
I mean, we all do sometimes, but anyway.
You know which of my parents does that?
Your mom?
No.
Your dad? Oh, yeah.
My mom is always talking to somebody, even if that person's not there. My dad does it, but he's not doing it like a goofy way I do. I just remember always being in the car with him, and every once in a while I'd be like, well, you can't find it all out there. I'm like, what? And he's like, huh? Did you say something? Nope. I'm like, okay. So that's, I guess that's that story. do you hear this? I have had a drink while recording this.
Cuckoo.
Several weeks. The point is, I'm not drunk. I started having this drink at the
it's
top.
It's because you've
podcast.
Lost so much weight with all this exercise.
I'm fucking.
It is hitting
now.
You hard.
But I try so hard not to jingle jangle my ice cubes. You hear it?
You're out of control.
I'm a fucking mess. This article, I thought it was interesting that you didn't let me get to that part, but at the end, that there's so few studies actually about dads because so much of parenting is focused on mothers because, you know, it's their job, right? And so this was an interesting sort of angle on actually seeing specifically through fathers. But yeah, it's that like if you are,
I mean, I suppose there's a lack in that area of research for dads, but I imagine that the equivalent for moms, the articles are like the study is like, are moms bad? We found out. Like, it's just like,
here's our questionnaire. Was your mom bad? Very bad. Not bad.
The studies on men are like, should men try to be happy? Yes.
This wasn't a question. So yeah, be present, be cool,
just be chill,
because listen, we are away from our kids a lot. They are at daycare from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 most every day, and a lot of parents spend a lot more time with their kids.
We're just justifying our behavior here.
It's true.
I will say, I think people's tolerance or like desire to be around their kids varies. And obviously we can't, like financially, we can't all find the ideal amount necessarily. And we have to work jobs and do things. But my point was that I think whatever makes you happier when you are around your kids is the right amount of being away from them.
So long as you,
choose the option that makes you happiest, and then your kids get to be around a happy person. That's my philosophy.
I'm really enjoying our kids recently, and I feel like like a better dad.
Well, I feel like we've been working on a lot of things that have been improving, but I really do feel like getting away from them for a week made me happier to be around them.
And weirdly, me having them alone by myself without you made me happier. But because, like, oh my gosh, your sound insulation blanket is about to fall off the wall. That's never happened before. Just leave it. No, it's going to fall. Oh, there goes the other side. Oh gosh. Now the sound is way off. It probably doesn't even matter. Anyway, we love our kids and I love you. Don't try to fix it. She's climbing up on a chair. You're going to do it wrong. This is the hardest thing. You have to do once. Okay, Beth is standing on the chair. She's holding the blanket and hanging them on my guitar Hold. Oh, she did it first try. Usually takes me three tries. Hi, welcome back to the microphone. How
welcome
was your trip?
Welcome back to our high-tech recording studio.
And this has been Did You Knows? And now it's time for We Knows Wins! This is where we discuss a parenting victory that we have achieved. That we have achieved as we of late. Achieved. Beth, you got one?
Yes. So this is another like sort of accidental parenting win or lesson that I learned.
Still counts.
So I was like playing with the kids in the kitchen, and Bryn like found the salt, which he's weirdly fascinated with the salt, like the big bottle.
This is a story I want to hear because I came home and saw the aftermath. So I'm really excited.
So anytime where I'm like letting him help me cook, he just wants to like dump everything. And you know, those like big salt canisters that you pour out of are like fascinating to his little mind. He just wants to be like pouring it everywhere.
Yeah.
And so he found that there's like not much salt left in it. So I was like, not like insanely worried about him playing with it. So I let him pour some into like the play teacups and stuff that he and Maven were playing with. And he was like putting it in their little like toy pots and pretending to cook. And I was like, you know, normally it's not my ideal to have like salt thrown all over the living room, but it was one of those things where I was like, they're already
like. I cleaned
like,
up, by the way.
What?
Which I cleaned up, by the way.
Well, not all of, but okay. So they're like doing that. It's like getting messier and messier, but it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? Let's just commit to this because they're very entertained and this is putting them in a really good mood when we normally have like at least two nighttime tantrums. So anyway, I'm letting them live their life to the fullest and they're making a mess.
So they're using salt basically as a substitute for tea at their tea party?
Yeah, but also Bryn was putting it in like toy pots and being like, I'm making soup. Or they'd like dump it onto plates and then serve it, and then they'd dump it back in the bowl, and then they'd like be like, now I'm making you pancakes. Like it was like a long
this is really
chef.
Really explaining the crime scene.
Anyway, so there, Bryn is getting it like on the couch, on the carpet, everywhere. And I was like, well, we're going to have to clean this up. And then he said something like, yeah, we got to get a cleaner. And he named our cleaning lady by name. And I was like so embarrassed that that was his idea of cleaning. Like, obviously we've like spoken to him about her, and like we
know how much shame you have about the fact that we have a cleaning lady.
I mean, I have shame, but I also have so much love for her as a fixture in my life.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She's so wonderful. I love what she does. So
we love what you do.
So that's probably why I like Bryn's probably picked up on my overwhelming affection for her, and so so I was
and
like
taking the wrong lesson from it.
I was like, I can't have this be his association with cleaning, which like we do constantly clean up after them like any mm-hmm. other parent. So I was like, I'm gonna try to figure out how to make this a lesson. Also, like the fact that they're so into like getting to do things that they don't normally get to do, I was like, I'm gonna like show them another trick and get out the vacuum.
Ooh.
So I was like making Bryn vacuum, even though he was like not obviously amazing at that, but he was obviously very excited.
He wasn't?
Well, he was okay, but like he can't like actually go around the room and vacuum.
That was being funny.
Anyway,
real funny.
We vacuumed. He was like, I felt like he was feeling responsible. And then like we went in the kitchen and Maven wanted to help me like load the dishwasher and put soap in. And then we ended up like starting a load of laundry, and they both were like putting laundry in the machine, like feeding it in. And I was like, oh my god, I need to get them to do this stuff all the time because they like feel so cool getting to do it.
Yeah.
And I think they like just hit this age where it's actually like you could get some sort of like coherent like performance of cleaning out of them.
Yeah, well, their whole lives is Bryn's very into I mean, this has always been true, but the mimicry of our routine. That's how they're learning how to be people.
Yeah, but he, as opposed to Maven, he has like a sixth sense for when something might actually be useful, and then he doesn't want to like jump through hoops for you.
Yeah.
Whereas Maven, if she like, she'll grab a paper towel and be wiping down, and she like realizes she's actually kind of cleaning, and she like gets into it.
She spent 30 minutes. She took a like a wet wipe and just started cleaning everything around her, including I was in my, in the couch, the single couch chair over there, whatever you call that. And she crawled up onto my lap and then crawled up my chest, over my face, and then sat on my head in her dress. So basically her, just, not quite her naked butt, but her underwear to butt on my head. And she faced backwards and cleaned the lamp above the sofa while using my bald head as a footstool.
It's truly my daughter. And then she just noticed that the light fixture.
She cleaned it, and then she like stood on my shoulders, lifted her butt off of my bald head, and then took the wet wipe and wiped down my head as if she was like, well, I shouldn't have put my butt on you. I'll wipe it down. You can check out my Instagram for like a little bit of that.
She's annoyingly getting kind of into the idea of wiping her butt, which I'm just like, I know she has to learn sometime, but I'm like, I don't really.
You're not good at it.
What?
Maven, you're not good at it.
It's just like, it's not helpful. It makes more mess than I'm like, okay, now
should
you.
She pull, like that, she rips the world's smallest piece of toilet paper out,
yeah,
and then she hands it to you like it's helpful.
She pulls like 10,000 tiny wisps of toilet paper off the roll at a time, then tries to hand it to you when it's time to wipe your butt. You're like, oh, thanks.
And she's like a crumbling handful.
This is so helpful.
Her hands are somehow wet, and so they're also like deteriorating.
Well, now
and she's like,
she's
use
like,
this.
Now she's like looking in the toilet a lot, and like she found like a scrap of like wrapper from something in the bathroom, and she was like poking that into the toilet bowl while she was sitting on the toilet.
God. I didn't tell you this. She now likes to sit on the toilet a long time and be left alone. And she's like, go away. So I'm like, all right, let me know when you need help. And I hear her giggling. And she's laughing. And then she starts laughing hysterically. And I go in. This is graphic, by the way, what I'm about to say. So if you want to skip ahead, go ahead. You thought that our episode about vaginas was over.
We're going to get so many emails.
But she was digging around down there. And I don't know how specific, had opened up her genitals and was looking at her own clitoris.
Just laughing?
And like had fully exposed it, you know, in a way that I was like, I've never seen that like that. And she was looking at it, laughing, and then she looks up at me with a face that's like, have you seen this? And she's poking at it and she's getting all in there and she's like, daddy, this is amazing. And I'm like, I don't know how to respond to this. And I was like, all right, let's wipe your butt. And I just ignored it and I wiped her butt. and then I got her dressed, and then I was like, was that a learning moment that I wasted? Should I have said something? I think she's just exploring. That's great. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fine. Developmentally, I don't think at 2 years old you need to be like, that's your clitoris. Please keep using the word clitoris.
Clitoris. That's the clitoral hood.
But I don't know. Maybe some of our listeners would disagree.
No, I think we've had enough private part opinions for 1 month. And then we'll come back to it.
I mean, they can email us if they want. I'll always read their genital analysis.
I'll always read your genital analysis. Now it's time for Listeners Want to Knows. This is where we read your emails, voicemails, Sky Mail, Sky Mall. This is where we read Sky Mall magazine. They went out of business. Did you know? Am I losing my mind? What am I talking about?
And now we will read the entirety of Sky Mall.
Toilet seat warmer. Okay, that was the best I could do.
Okay, do you want to start this over?
No, I'm not starting over. Hey, Pete and Beth.
This is a parenting podcast. We're now taking a listener email.
I always love the rope ladder that you use in your window for when you have a fire in the Sky Mom magazine. Anyway,
please keep distracting us from the voice.
Please write in and tell us your favorite item from Sky Mom magazine.
Okay.
Hey, Pete and Beth. I'm sorry. Pete McNerney is my father. I'm Peter. But I'll go by Pete. That's fine.
Can we read the email?
I'm going to stretch it out because it's annoying, Beth. Hey, Pete and Beth. Joanne here from Montreal. Joanne with an H. Joanne? Joanne from Montreal. Love your show. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I really relate to much of what you discuss. You are a fine companion on my daily metro rides to and from work. I'm not sure where this fits in, but I am writing you about a disgusting issue we are facing in our household, locally known as the snot wall. Our 6-year-old empties his nostrils at night and disposes of his loot on the wall next to his bed. Interesting science fact. When snot hardens on a wall, it basically forms concrete. Scraping this substance off the wall will result in paint chipping. Whoa. What does work is to rehydrate the snot by applying warm, wet compresses to the area for a good couple minutes and gently wiping it off with a second warm rag.
Yeah, it's called washing.
It is a disgusting activity, as you might imagine. I have done the cleanup job a couple of times by this point, and my husband has done it 0 times, as he claims he cannot take snot, cannot take snots, as it makes him gag. Yes, this is about you, husband. You know who you are, because you listen to this podcast, too. Oh, take that, husband. In terms of prevention work, we have tried the usual suspects. Cleanup, a Kleenex workshop, promising rewards if no new snots appear, etc. Most dramatically, I made up the dreaded snot crab. Hand-sized crabs that emerge in the night upon smelling the snot wall. No success so far. The wall continues to expand.
Wow, you would think snot crab would have worked.
I don't know why I like that so much. So here are some questions for you. Have you dealt with this issue? If so, what is your cleanup method? Not sure my method is best practice. What might you suggest as a prevention strategy?
Okay, so
thanks for advance, Joanne.
The thing is, I haven't dealt with this issue at home, but...
What? Whoa, where is this going?
This is going to sound so crazy, but I work in a co-working space where we share a larger office with a bunch of little offices.
I have no idea where this is going.
Someone in our office does this in the bathroom stall, or at least was for a period of time.
What?
But it's like, this is the kind of thing that human beings do. It's like a pathology. Like, who? What person? Why? People are insane. And like, you know, we know the cleaning lady. It's like so insane to imagine leaving her with something like that. That someone built up over the course of time, like deliberately, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
I cannot just believe that this is how you are able to relate to this email.
It's disgusting. I don't think this is still happening in my office. I think this person probably like left or whatever. I don't know. It's like insane.
Well, answer your question, Joanne.
We have not dealt with it.
We have not dealt with this. Not with a wall. But I've dealt with it on Maven's face. Everyone's a little bit sick now, except me, so I'm next, I'm sure. And Maven constantly has a racing stripe from her nostril to her right ear, where she clearly wipes her face towards the right, and there's just a dried line of snot across her face.
I think most parents can relate to the dried snot in the nose. It's like very hard to get out sometimes.
I dig in my kid's nose so aggressively. I get them to the sink. I get a handful of warm water. I throw it in their face. And then I start at the top of their nose and I squeeze downwards.
I mean, again, it's called washing, and most of us do this to our children.
But
I
dig into those nostrils. I really get it. Maven also likes to pick her nose.
It's the quality of time, not
the quality of snot removal, not the quantity. Also, a lot of mornings, I've said this, you know, I wake up at 7 and roll in there and get them dressed as fast as I can and then get them to daycare. I look ridiculous. But it's only when I go around to open the door to take Maven out of the car to go to daycare that I look at her face for the first time and realize it's crusted.
Yeah.
With God knows what. Do we have advice for Joanne? I'm trying to get Bryn to go
pee.
How
old did she say this kid was?
6. I mean, it's clearly something he's doing while he's asleep.
Why do you think he's doing it while he's... Where is it?
It's in bed. He's in bed, the wall by his bed.
But he's probably just bored in bed, like not quite asleep, and he's picking his nose, and then he just like goes to put it somewhere. Like, has she tried putting tissues next to the bed?
Well, I mean,
was I not listening carefully enough as usual?
You really like to listen to these and then ask a bunch of questions that were
because
in the
you
email.
Don't edit anything out. So
you gotta listen. This is not my fault
because you always include the part where someone's like, "Hi, I'm a person who listens to your podcast."
Yeah, because that's usually where they say something nice about me. Why would I skip that?
No one likes to hear that part of like where the podcast gets complimented. It's assumed if they're writing into a podcast.
You know who
listening.
Likes to hear that? Me and Joanne. I'm not going to shortchange you, listeners. What I'm shocked by that is that it chips paint. Very descriptive. It was very... I'm not grossed out by snot, by boogers. So, unnamed dad, get over it.
I wouldn't say I'm grossed out so much as, like, when they have a bad cold like they did this week, there's part of me that, like, sometimes I can dodge the cold if I'm really careful. And so I don't want to, like, absentmindedly have them wiping snot everywhere and me touching. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to contain it somewhat.
I think I like snot. I mean, compared to other gross things, I'm like, I'm not grossed out by it.
I mean,
it.
I just wish I didn't have this cold right now.
I mean, is there anything more satisfying than, like, blowing your nose when you have a cold and just...
No, because my body has an overactive immune system. So it's just flood. My nose is a flood the whole day.
I mean, I guess there are better things than blowing your nose. I'm trying to... she asked questions
You're trying
with
to
such...
give advice.
Yeah, she asked questions.
You're telling her, like, maybe she should think about how snot is good.
I'm not telling her anything.
That's
once
your
once
advice.
Again, we're giving no practical advice. I'm just
I'm
relating to
get
it.
Get some tissues. Keep them by the bed.
I got an idea. Okay, here's my solution. Ready for this?
What?
Tape a bunch of tissues to the wall.
That's true. You could hang a poster there even and just be like, well, at least this saves me a couple months and I just leave this snot-covered poster here.
Whatever your son loves the most, whatever his TV show or character... Get a poster of that, put it on the wall, and then when he wakes up and sees that he's destroyed Paw Patrol's face, he's going to feel horrified.
Just start wiping them on the bedpost or something.
Is it the same spot over and over and over? In which case, maybe just, here's what you do. This
Are you
is it.
Saying there's some significance to the spot, like it's some sort of portal?
I'm just saying is
that
there,
he's drawn
there's
to
a pattern.
Subconsciously. He can't help himself.
Here's what she's going to do. She's going to get a...
Hire a psychic.
Hire a psychic. What? Oh, no.
Get a read on the energy of the room. Ask the psychic what to do if a poster would work.
Find your crappiest old small washcloth. Draw with a red Sharpie a target on it. And then pin it to the wall and encourage him to hit the target. This is like in urinals, they paint a little fly on the urinal in the bottom in the point where the urine will splash the least onto the
I
floor.
I think you should buy your son fancy pajamas with a breast pocket. Get him a silk scarf that he keeps in there.
What?
Tell him how cool kids blow their nose into a scarf. Okay, this kid...
Snot target on the wall. This is a genuinely good idea.
This kid doesn't care.
But if you gave him a target on a wash... on a like a cloth on the wall, he's going to put it on there, and then you can throw it in the wash.
If you give him a cool washcloth...
It's like a wall diaper.
How could he resist?
I mean, you know about this?
You heard about these washcloths?
You heard about these urinals?
Do I know about these urinals?
They draw a little bumblebee or a fly on the bottom of a urinal.
Yeah, I understand. Men are dumb. The problem is this is an even dumber kid in a dark room.
Yeah, it's a six-year-old man.
He's
is the dumbest.
He's already shown us he doesn't give a fuck.
Okay, Joanne, I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize for my wife who's not taking your real problem seriously.
I am taking it seriously.
I'm giving you constructive ideas for how to solve this. So please do it
Hire
and report back
hypnotist.
Because I'm confident my ideas will work. And this has been Listeners Wanna Knows. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you would like to send us a review or a rating, you could do that on Apple Podcasts. Please do. It really genuinely helps us a lot, and it makes me feel good about myself. Check out our website, weknowsparenting.com. You can buy some merch there. Our email address is weknowspod@gmail.com, where you can send us questions, stories, advice, whatever you got. Beth, what's our social media stuff? Tell us about it.
You can find us at weknowspod on Instagram and Twitter and the We Knows Parenting Facebook page.
And again, the new season of the Story Pirates podcast has just launched. Please check that out if you have kids or don't. And whatever you're doing, have a great night. Bye, baby.
Bye.